So good to see each one of you this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I would encourage you at this time, as we begin our study, to open your Bible to the Old Testament. To the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 is where we're going to begin our lesson this morning. At Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to begin looking at verse 15, if you will. 30 and verse 15. There we have recorded for us, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your hearts turn away, that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over to the Jordan to go into and possess it. I call to heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God with, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them." Now this passage is written, as we all are familiar, given to the children of Israel by Moses just before they go into the land of Canaan. Remember, Moses is not going to get into Canaan. Joshua is going to take them. But it's the expression, now they've been wandering in the wilderness and now they're going to go take possession of the land. And here's the instruction. So what we're going to do this morning is take one verse of that instruction and apply it to you and I today. Because we too have a place to go, and that's called heaven. We have heaven that awaits us. So with that being said, I go back to chapter 31 and verse 19. Chapter 30 and verse 19. It states there, "I call to heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." And therefore, that's what we need to make the choice too. We need to choose life. Now, their choosing of life was going in the land of Canaan. Our choosing of life is our life in Christ to go home to heaven. But it's a matter of choice. Now, how do I know that we have this choice today? Let's look at some passages. In John chapter 14, in the New Testament now, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, we're all familiar with that. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father," what? "But by me." Again, looking at this, let's go to 1 John now, all the way down to 1 John, chapter 5, and verses 11 and 12. And 1 John chapter 5, and verse 11, "And this is the testimony that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." That's pretty simple, is it not? You have the Son, you have life. You don't have the Son, you don't have life. Choose life. Again, one other passage before we tie it all together and begin our lesson, Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Here we have now the Hebrew writer making this observation in verse 9. "And having been perfected, he," and of course we understand this speaking of Jesus, "he became the author of eternal salvation," again, choose life, eternal salvation, "to all who obey him." So I begin with Deuteronomy 30:19, choose life, and I turn it to us today, 2024, we too have the opportunity to choose life. Now, our opportunity to choose life is by submitting to God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that's our lesson today, choose life. Now, before I go on, It's a matter of personal choice. I can only choose for myself to do that which is right. Choose life. I had a friend, close friend, years ago. He wasn't very religious. We had just recently obeyed the gospel, and we tried to encourage him to come and hear the gospel with us. And I'll never forget his statement, true statement. He said, "Chuck, don't worry about me. I have friends in both places." Well, that's probably true of all of us. But the point is this, if we get in the other place, which we know of as hell, it's because we made the choice not to choose life. In other words, if I end up in condemnation, I made the choice to ignore the teachings of Christ, Jesus Christ, and choose life. Getting to heaven is not a matter of chance. Understand that. It's not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of personal choice. And we're going to see from our study this morning, it's a matter of effort for that choice. So I hope and pray you've chosen to be here. That's a good thing. But will you choose life? Because it's not just this 1 hour that we're sitting here. Let's go on into our lesson this morning. One of the things, let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. One of the things we need to remember as we make the choice to choose life is that it's going to take effort on our part. And see, here the problem begins. Because for a lot of people, when they think of religion, they have been deceived into thinking that there's nothing they do. Now let me clarify myself. There's nothing I can do to wash away my own sins. That was all God's part. We all agree to that. That it was because of Jesus Christ and His shed blood, I have life. Not my blood, but His blood. However, the Bible is completely full of examples that there's going to be an effort put forth. Christianity is not something you wear on Sundays and then take off on Mondays and then put back on next Sunday. If I'm going to choose life, talking about eternal life, I need to recognize it's going to take effort. Now, people don't like to hear that because they want to eliminate, well, if it's effort, then God owes me. God owes you and I nothing. But it takes effort. And let's read Matthew 7, 13 and 14. We're all familiar with this. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction." And look at the next phrase. "And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the way and gate is difficult, and narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Notice, few who find it. Why? Because we like the easier path, do we not? Now, you're probably going to get tired of this illustration because we're going to have it here for months, but let's take our little road out in front of us. You know, when I'd go home after services, I wouldn't really pay too much attention. Sometimes my wife said I'd make too wide a turn. I don't get to make a wide turn anymore because if I make a wide turn, I'm going to hit some of those barriers, am I not? So guess what? I'm more careful because the road has what? It has narrowed. And when it's narrowed, you pay closer attention, don't you? I found that out last Wednesday. She thought I was going to hit a few of those barriers. And so, of course, she'd been trying to be my captain of driving, let me know I'm doing silliness. Takes effort. Takes effort when you go on a narrow road. It takes effort to choose life. Let's go to some passages, just a few, showing the effort. So I don't want to scare anybody from serving God, but I want you to be aware, it's not for a lazy person. A lazy person will not have heaven. You have to choose life, and that's going to take effort if you go the narrow way. Let's go to the first passage in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. "And see, immediately when I try to teach people this, I turn them off because they want all what God has done and nothing placed upon them." Right? It's all God, nothing on me. I can do whatever I want. And where did they get that from? From the multitude of funerals you went to. Yeah, from the multitude of funerals you went to. Because you go to any funeral, regardless if the person is religious or not, what does the guy up there do? Puts them into heaven. Has no authority to do that, by the way, but that's what he does. To choose life, I've got to put forth the effort to walk the narrow way. You have to put forth the effort. Now, you did by being here this morning, but it's not simply by being here this morning. And Luke, we read in 9 and verse 23, it states, "And he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." Now, daily is put into some versions, others it's not. "Let him deny himself and follow me." Whether you put the word daily there or not, the principle is there. You need to follow him. And that takes effort. Because as human beings, how do we want to live life? Our way, not his way. But if I'm going to be a Christian, if I want eternal life, I've got to live it his way. I've got to follow his path. I've got to follow his decisions as to what I'm to do. Choose life. Does that make sense? I believe it does. Let's go to another passage as we talk about the effort. This one I really like, Luke 14. I mean, it can become more simpler than what it does in Luke chapter 14. You know, I know there are those who are excellent speakers, and they know how to just touch the right buttons to get a positive response out of people. But I know from the scriptures, it's not a matter of touching the right buttons. It's a matter of teaching the truth. And sometimes when you teach the truth, you don't touch the right buttons. So let's see what I mean. All right, in Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. "Now a great multitude went with him." So I want to stop right there. And we've studied this before. Jesus is in the presence of a great multitude. That's what your Bible says, isn't it? Now, what would he say? Is he going to appease the crowd? Or is he going to bring forth something that's going to take a whole lot of effort? What's he going to say? Let's go on. "And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father," and we understand the word hate there means to love less, that he needs to put his father below him, "to hate his father and mother, wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, what? He cannot be my disciple." Wow! What he has just listed in verse 26 for us is our closest of loved ones, right? And he said, you can't be my disciple if you put your closest of loved ones ahead of me. Now, let's take it in its context. A lot of these were Jews, Pharisees, and Sadducees, correct? And a lot of those Jews decided not to follow Jesus. So if you were a Jew grown up in a Jewish family and you decided to follow Jesus, are you going to have conflict with your closest of loved ones? And he's saying, if that's going to be a problem, you can't be his disciple. You got to put him first. I've seen in the church, people put their children above the Lord. How do I know that? Because their children go astray, and eventually they go astray. So again, that takes effort, doesn't it? To put him first above the closest of family ties. Doesn't say you don't love your family, but they have to come second, and he needs to be first if I am going to have life. Let's go on. Goes on in verse 27. "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." That's the second time. Just as he starts out. Let me hit the homes. Oh, and let me hit this. You're going to have suffering. You're going to have suffering. And if you're not willing to suffer, you can't be his disciple. Remember 2 Timothy 3:12? "Yea, and all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." So again, to choose life is going to take effort. I've got to be willing to change my priority list. Make Jesus first. I've got to be able to put him first, even if that means various forms of suffering might come my way. But let's go on. He's not done. He goes on to state in verse 28, For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish? Lest as he laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all will see and begin to mock him. Verse 30, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider that he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever you does not forsake all that he has a third time cannot be my disciple. Would you say that takes effort? I believe it does, doesn't it? In other words, he's got to be first. Not the preacher's got to be first. Preacher's not even in here. Not the elder's got to be first. That's not in here. Who's got to be first? Christ has got to be first. To choose life, I've got to put Christ first. And brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors, that takes effort. Because we grow up in a society where we focus to ourselves first. We've got to cut that pedestal down, put up a new pedestal, and that Christ is first. But let's go on. If I want to choose life, I've got to build on the rock. I've got to have the right foundation. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. In Matthew, we have recorded for us in chapter 7. Therefore, and I'm not going to read this foolish man. I'm just working on the solid one. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Now, the difference between the wise man and the foolish man, remember, they both heard the sayings, but the foolish man didn't build upon the teachings of Christ, correct? So again, if I'm going to choose life, we're talking about choosing life, speaking of eternal life, if I'm going to choose life, I've got to be willing to submit to the teachings of Christ. Not just listen to them, but submit to them. It's easy to listen to something. It takes a whole lot more effort to do it, doesn't it? Do you remember the book of James? Let's go to James chapter 1. We're all familiar with this, but it's good to refresh our memories. In fact, I'm going to refresh your memories every time I get up to speak because you study your Bibles. And James chapter 1, in verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay, are we the doers? Have we all been guilty? Well, that's a good point. I need to change. And you look back and guess what? You never did. You never changed. So what we did is we heard, but we're not doers. We've got to be a doer of the word, not just simply a hearer of the word, correct? To choose life, I've got to build on that rock. I can't be building thinking I'm doing it. It's not a thought process only. It's an action process. Again, as we talk about being doers of the word, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, choose life. Then I've got to be a doer of that word. It tells us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 13. Talking about those who had obeyed the gospel at Thessalonica. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Listen to the last part, which also effectually works in you who believe. What did the word do? It worked in them. In other words, they heard it, they recognized it was the word of God, and they made application of it. So if I'm going to choose life, do I need to do the same? And is it limited to baptism? Or does it go beyond that? Of course, we understand that it goes beyond that. One more passage before we move on. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. So again, the choice is mine, but it's going to take effort. You are not going to slide into heaven by chance. If you think you're going to get to heaven by chance, if I don't accomplish anything, I hope I accomplish of eliminating that thought out of your mind. It's not by chance. It's not predestination of an individual. The plan has been predestined. It's a matter of choice, my personal choice, your personal choice. In Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18, "But God be thanked, though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." Notice, you obeyed. So if you obeyed, what does that mean? There's something you need to do. You don't need obedience if there's nothing you need to do. But of course, you need to be baptized, didn't you? That's what Romans 6, 3 and 4. But then it goes on, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." When did I become free from sin? When I obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered me. What doctrine? The doctrine of Christ, 2 John verse 9. You see how the Bible ties itself together? As was said in class by Bob, the Bible is its own best commentary, if we allow it to be so, correct? So again, choosing life requires me being a doer of the word. Means effort, and that effort means action. Okay, but let's go on. Choosing life means to choose to be wise. And this adds a third component of effort and following the standard. Because to be wise, let's go to Matthew 25. That shows it's a lifelong situation. It's not one and done. The angels in heaven rejoice when someone is baptized, when someone puts on Christ. We have biblical teaching on that, do we not? When someone comes back to that which is right. But to keep them rejoicing, you have to keep on keeping on. It's not just a period of time. And it's not going to be deducted by the idea of, oh, well, you did this many years. Oh, the last 6 or 7 years, you kind of slipped. But you had 30 years good, so 30 minus 6, come on in. No, that's not how it works. Some of my brethren get upset over the years. You mean to tell me someone could live ungodly and at the very end get to go to heaven? Yes, if they choose life. Yes, if they do the right thing. Yes, if they follow the Lord. And by the way, if you feel bad about that, then you really didn't enjoy life that you chose. Shows me it became simply a chore to you. I don't know about you, but I don't look at Christianity as being a chore. I look at it as being a joy because it helps me eliminate things that could lead my life on a wrong direction. How about you? If I didn't obey the teachings of Christ, would I perhaps get caught up in things that I shouldn't have? And would there have been consequences for that? So the point is, if someone waits to the latter part of their life, I kind of feel bad. I'm glad they're going to get to have heaven if they stay faithful, but I kind of feel bad for them because you can't turn the clock back, right? And think about had you maybe had the clock different when it was turned back, who you might have influenced the right way. So don't get bent out of shape because someone got it in the last hour. He got the same wage in the last hour. Be thankful he got the wage. Be thankful he chose life. But for those of us that have already obeyed the gospel, regardless of what age, keep on keeping on. It's not a chore. It's a joy. Remember in Matthew chapter 25, let's read that together. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read the whole section here very quickly. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish." We want to be like the wise, do we not? There's the difference of choice, wise or foolish. "Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for look it, our lamps are going out.'" Now I want to just kind of throw some thought in there. If their lamps are going out, at one time it was lit, right? Can't be going out if it's never been lit. So their lamps had been lit, but it's going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, at least there should not be enough for us. Oh, that's interesting. Not talking about sharing here. I can't live your life for you. You can't live your life for me. That's what it's talking about. In other words, I can't share my conduct and give it to you. You can't share your conduct and give it to me. That's how I understand that. It goes in verse 10, and while they were to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you. The whole summation of this 13 verses, this verse, verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. So if I'm going to choose life, I've got to make sure I'm staying on the narrow path. I've got to make sure I'm doing what God's word has to say. I've got to make sure my light is what it should be. Well, that's not fair of God. Wait now. God is fair regardless. Because we didn't earn heaven. So don't tell me what's not fair. We get to have the home in heaven. Let's go back to Israel, back in Deuteronomy. Did they earn the promised land? No, they did not earn the promised land. Were they instructed that they had to maintain faithfulness? Yes, they were. Well, what do we know about that story? They didn't remain faithful. We know the rest of that story, as Paul Harvey would say, don't we? But the point is this. I've got to maintain faithfulness to the Lord. It's not one and done. It's not after you've been baptized. It's not 6 years minus 4 years or 5 years minus 1 year. No, if I'm alive today, I need to be serving Christ today. If I'm alive tomorrow, I need to be serving Christ tomorrow. I don't pick and choose what I'm going to serve Christ Monday, Wednesdays, and Sundays. No, that don't work like that. You're going to serve Christ daily, right? You're going to maintain faithfulness. Because if that were the case, what if he comes on a Thursday? Now you're in trouble. Because you said Monday and Wednesday and Friday. You're going to tell him, God, if you would have waited till Friday, no, that's not going to work. You got to be faithful at all times. Now, in reality, I got to be faithful when it's easy to be faithful. I got to be faithful when it's difficult to be faithful. I've got to choose life. It's my choice. God gives me the blood through his Son. But now it's my choice. Now let's go to a few passages before we move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm not going to steal Bob's thunder because it's a very good section and he's studying chapter 9. I'm just going to read this because it's so simple. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might obtain. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, that's self-controlled, in all things. Oh, I like that, in all things. That's a whole sermon right there, but let's go on. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest that when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Disqualified. Who's talking here? Paul is. He's an apostle. Could he become disqualified? Yeah. Could you become disqualified? Yeah. Could I? Yeah. When is that going to happen? When I quit running. When I quit running. Choose life. I've got to maintain faithfulness. It's not a one-shot only deal. It's a day-by-day deal. I had one person before they obeyed the gospel, one of the reasons they were avoiding obeying the gospel, they didn't know whether they could maintain. You don't look weeks ahead of time. You look today. And if you're given another day, you look today. And so on and so on. I think I gave you this illustration. When I first married my wife back in 1972, one of my concerns, and at that time I thought it was legitimate, I'm going to run out of things to say to her. It's been over 50 years and I still haven't run out of words. You see, you take it a day at a time. And that's just like in Christ. You take it a day at a time. You stay faithful today. And if you wake up tomorrow, you stay faithful tomorrow. You keep on running that race. You don't slow down. You don't give up. Well, I say you don't slow down. When you get older, you can't help but slow down. But you do the best you can at that age. You choose life. You maintain faithfulness. And let's go to the next one. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And again, I use this passage frequently, and I don't apologize. It's a good passage. You need to pay attention to it. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Notice the phrase, always abounding. You know who brought, and I'm not trying to embarrass him, you know who brought that to my attention? My son many years ago. Always abounding. You know, sometimes we abound, don't we? But that's not what it says. Sometimes we abound when things are going just right, aren't they? It doesn't say that. It says always abounding. That means you always abound whether things are going right or not going right. You stay on that narrow path. You keep on maintaining faithfulness. You keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You don't barter with God. You don't say, well, you know what, I've done this all this time, and now here's what you've done. First of all, God didn't do bad things to us. Might have been by our choices. Might be just that year in life itself. But you don't barter with God. You choose to be faithful, regardless of what state you're in right now. I didn't know him that well, but Shane Scott was a very dedicated preacher of the gospel. The few times I heard him, I thoroughly enjoyed the lessons he presented. He's gone on to his reward. Oh, and it wasn't easy how he got onto his word. You know, I'm kind of selfish. I said, God, you know, just kind of let me die in my sleep. I'm okay today. I go to bed tonight and I'm gone. Then Susan can call you up. Hey, you need to look for a preacher. In fact, James Van Doren told me when we had the hurricane. He said, are you staying in your double wide? I said, yeah, we're staying there. He said, well, we'll be looking for a new preacher. And when I was in there that night, I thought maybe he was right. That's how I want to go. But we don't know that. I say that to say about Shane. Shane had a lot of difficulty. A lot of difficulty. I don't know him personally. I know him. We know each other by name. We've met. But you know what? To my knowledge, he stayed faithful. Amen to that. He didn't get bitter. According to my daughter and others, he didn't take it out against God. But his life, he could barely do anything, if anything, for himself in his final days. And yet, according to what I've been told, he's still faithful. Wow, you know, it's easy for me to stand up here and tell you that. It's a whole different thing when someone actually does it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And how do I know he was doing that? They had various gadgets, and I don't mean this negatively, so that he could speak. I guess when a few times he'd get up to preach, he couldn't stand up and do this. He'd sit in a chair, and they have something with AI or something that would rehearse his words. But he could have just said, oh, forget it. I'm just going to just go off in a corner and die. But that wasn't his point. Now, I'm not putting him in sainthood because we're all saints. But I'm just saying, always abound in the work of the Lord, whether things are going good or whether things are going bad. As before we come to the close, choose the right mindset. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 5 and 6, it said, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, yours might say worldly, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that really takes effort to be spiritually minded, because we're in a carnal world. We're in a world that really doesn't care much about God. And it's very easy to be influenced by the world. That's where sometimes we get caught up in saying things that we shouldn't say. And I'm not justifying that, but that's why we have to be careful on things like that. That's why sometimes we do things we shouldn't do, because we got caught up with the crowd in doing those things. Again, I'm not justifying that. I'm just forewarning us. We live in a world that's carnal, that's worldly. You're not going to escape that. When you leave these four walls, you're going into a world that is worldly. And they're going to try to influence you and influence me to be worldly. You know, it's kind of like when they sell you something. You deserve it. Wait a minute, I deserve. Remember that, Susan. I deserve that big, beautiful, new, fast car. Actually, an old car, 1965 Mustang. I deserve it. I'm 70 years old. I don't deserve that. The point I'm trying to say, you see, the world says, you deserve this, you deserve that, you deserve this, you deserve that. I'm entitled to this, I'm entitled to that, I'm entitled to this. Right? This is the world. And we've totally destroyed religion based upon that. But you're going to be spiritually minded. How is that possible? In Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, it tells us this: be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. But look at verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's have just a few more passages. Romans 12. You knew I'm going to bring this up. I think if you'd look at my lessons, I got Romans 12 and probably 70% of my lessons. And Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. We have recorded for us, as Paul writes to the Christians at Rome, he states this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. I'm glad he didn't stop there. Because after he said that in verse 1, my next question is how? Right? To live. Well, here's the how, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, look at what it says in verse 2. It says, be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, right? Okay, then we tie those two together. We bring the third passage, Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 3, again, here's the Bible explaining itself to us. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, it tells us this in verse 10. And having put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. Knowledge of whom? Knowledge of God. Where is that? In the Scriptures. Ah. So if I want to choose life, I've got to have my head screwed on right. What I mean by that, my thinking needs to be right. And what happens, a lot of people's thinking is not right. Therefore, they choose death, sometimes unbeknown that they've chosen death. I need to choose life. So we tie this all together. Remember in Deuteronomy, if you do these things, you're going to be blessed in that land. And it started out good for them, didn't it? It started good until the death of Joshua and all those that followed him. Then we have the period of Judges, right? Remember the period of Judges? Up, down, up, down, up, down. And then the period of kings, and that was just a disaster. Had a few good kings, but basically a disaster. And now we look at us today. What are you choosing? Are you choosing life by serving Him, following the narrow way, feeding upon the Word of God as a solid foundation, and maintaining that example? We close with that because you know what? Your choice means your destination. Oh, and it's interesting. There's only two destinations. I had a cereal craving the other day, so I went. I can't believe how large the cereal line got. You know, when I was a young kid, the cereal line probably wasn't much wider than this podium. Now they've got a whole aisle. If you go to Publix, and again, I have no stock in Publix. I just like Publix, so I mentioned that. If you go to Publix locally on Hardin Boulevard, their cereal aisle goes from one end almost to the other end of an aisle. And these are long aisles. No wonder why it takes 5 minutes to pick out the cereal you want. You have a gazillion, I'm exaggerating. You have a lot of choices. Well, when it comes to eternal life, fortunately, we have only two choices. Heaven or hell. But to get heaven, I've got to choose life. Let's read that passage. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit everlasting life. Well, how do we sow to the Spirit? By taking the teachings of Christ and making them a part of our life. In just a moment, Joe's going to come forward here. And it'll be, what will your answer be? Joe didn't know what I was preaching on, but you couldn't get a better topic for my lesson. What will your answer be? Will you choose life following the Lord Jesus? Or will you choose to put him off, delay, ignore him? It's totally up to you as we stand and as we sing.